rest of us, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 13 will be our text. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 13, we will be looking at a lot of Scripture in this message. We also will not finish this message today. There's too much material to preach in one service. Unless you want to stay another 2 hours. What I want to talk to you about is strengthening faith. You know, faith is not a feeling. Do not depend on your feelings to measure how deep your faith is. Faith is rooted in the depths of a faith in and a trust of our God. And that has nothing to do with feelings. Too many people equate their faith with their feelings. So if they're having a bad day and things and everything's going the wrong way, then because it's rooted in feelings, then they're devastated. But a faith that is rooted in our faith in God and rooted in our trust in Him and rooted in our relationship with Him, because it's through that depth of relationship that we have with our God that the roots of faith go deeply in. Am I making sense to you? So we'll begin by reading Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 13. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your Spirit that gives us revelation from your word and seals your word in our hearts as we study it and hear it and read it. Father, we thank you. And I pray, Lord, as I bring this message, that Lord, there would be enlightenment and revelation that would take place. And Lord, that we would be strengthened in a true faith, Lord. I pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that you only cause me to speak what is from your heart and yours only. And that I will speak nothing more or nothing less than that. In Jesus' name, amen. So this message has come up because God has been stirring me up for a while about faith. We need faith all the time. But when we are coming into very hard times, when our faith is tested, we really need our faith to be fortified, to be strengthened, to carry us through the hard things that come in life. I've told you this before. I'm going to tell you again. I think very, very hard times are coming on the earth. We are living in the last days, guys, and I don't know how long that's going to be, how long that last days time frame is, but we are living in the last days. It's not rocket science to see it. You just look at the Word of God and filter what is happening in our earth right now and what was prophesied to happen in the last days. And guys, we're there. We're there. Look in Matthew 24. We're there. And so, I believe God has stirred me up yet again, or more, about teaching and preaching on faith to strengthen you and prepare you for the things that are to come, so that you don't depend on your feelings. But your faith, as it's exercised, has got roots that go deep into God. So this is a mini-series is what it'll be. We'll see how far we get today, whether it's a two-part or three-part series. I'm not going to hurry it. I want God to lead this as I do all the messages. I want Him to have His way. I want us to hear Him speak. I would just as soon be invisible, because I want you to hear God's voice, not mine. This is very important. Not that all of God's Word isn't important, but this is a very timely, important message because of what is coming on the earth. Faith is the most important component in our walk with Christ. Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Wasn't credited to him as anything else. But the faith that he walked in with, God credited him with righteousness because of the faith that he walked in. So if we want to be righteous before God, what this tells me is we must walk in faith. And if we are walking by faith, then we are no longer walking by sight or walking by feelings. Romans 4, verses 10 and 11 says, under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to him. So in this passage, Paul is making it abundantly clear to the Romans that circumcision no longer had any bearing on righteousness. Okay? That was the old order of things. That was the old covenant. That's no bearing on righteousness. And we see he's using Abraham as an example of what righteousness is. So again, we see righteousness credited to Abraham for his faith. A trusting faith in God pleases him. Now we may or may not think about what pleases God and what doesn't. I don't know if you do or not. I guess more than thinking about myself, more than thinking about what pleases him, I tend to typically think about what makes him mad. Because I don't want to make him mad. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now that's just me, and not everybody's like me, but I tend to try to not do things that are going to make God mad. Because I want to walk in the blessing of God, you know what I mean? But That's my bad, because I should also be thinking about what pleases him. So I'm just telling you, I have a tendency to lean toward the negative in that case, and I want to get better. I want to think more about what pleases him and less about what makes him mad. Now, let me tell you something. We don't want to forget about what makes him mad. We need to be mindful of the Ten Commandments. Break them, it makes him mad. Let's make it simple, all right? That for sure is going to make him mad. He made it clear. So Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Can you get it any more clear than that? Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. When we come to him, in other words, when we come to him to repent of our sins, we realize, oh my gosh, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, because I can't be saved because I'm a sinner. Without Christ, I can't be saved. Jesus Christ is that Savior. When we get that revelation and we get born again, then it makes it abundantly clear that that process has to happen in this way. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. That's the starting point. We have to, you and I, every one of us, we have to come to the place where we believe that he exists. That's the starting point. Now, I got to level with you. Before I got saved, I didn't know where I was at with that. I was raised in the church, but I didn't get it. I wasn't sure. I remember being a young adult and being stoned and sitting around with a couple of different friends that would talk about spiritual things and actually talk about, what do you think about God? Real or not real? Is it fiction? Is it somebody's fantasy? What do you think about God? I remember doing that. But I didn't know if I believed. I didn't really know if he was real. So I had to come to the place when I was 25 years old and broken, a broken man, because that's where the life I was living leads you. I was a broken, empty man and didn't have much hope. But then I came to the belief, the place where I believed that he exists. My spiritual father came to my house and led me to that belief. It was my time, I guess. Enough prayers had been raised for me by my wife and my mother-in-law and many other people that were praying for me. And I came to the place that night, sitting on my couch, where I prayed that prayer to invite Jesus Christ to come into my life, because I realized at that point, he really does exist. He's alive. They killed him, but he's alive. And then, not long after that, I came to the place that I realized that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He rewards us with salvation, with eternal life. You know, under the banner of salvation, you know, there's so many ways. When I was tuning this up, this message, there's so many places where I could have added another message here. It's hard to pare it down sometimes when you're doing that. And the whole idea of the fact that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The word salvation is a very, very broad word because it encompasses everything that God is. It encompasses the fact that we can be born again. It encompasses the fact of healing. It encompasses the fact of deliverance. It means all of it. The whole term of salvation means all of it. Well, ironically, when I came to the place where I said, He's real, I'm also a sinner. And since He's that Savior, I'm going to pray this prayer with this pastor sitting in front of me. And that was when he asked me if it was okay if he put his hand on my head. I said, okay. I wasn't too sure about all that. I'm just getting started here. Just scratching the surface. And then he said, well, would it be all right if I put some oil on my hand? I said, how much oil? I had attitude. Oh, he said, just a little bit. It's only a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Okay. He was very loving, very patient. And then he put his hands on me and led me in the sinner's prayer. Because I had finally come to the place where I realized God existed. I realized I truly am a sinner. And I realized I truly needed a Savior. And I prayed with him to receive Christ, and boom, boy, is he real. That was 40 years ago, guys, and I'm still spinning. And guess what? What I said about salvation being very broad-based, all-encompassing. I was demonized, and I was set free. I was delivered at the time I was born again. I had ulcerative colitis really bad, mostly from the way I was living, the things I was putting into my body. Do I need to say more than that, or are you with me? You're with me, aren't you? My colon was really messed up. Ulcerative colitis, for you guys that don't know, that's no joke. Everything you eat goes through you. You might as well rent it. So in other words, you're pretty sick. Okay? Guess what? I was so excited to be born again, I wasn't even thinking about it. And then, a few weeks later, I realized, hey, I'm not having any cramps anymore. I'm not having any of the other symptoms. Didn't ask specifically to be healed. But when I gave my life to Christ, He healed my body. So I was saved, and I was delivered, and I was healed all at one time by just telling Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit You exist, and I'm inviting You to come into my life, and I'll live for You from this day forward. Amen. It says it all in the Word. But I didn't get it before that. It took till I was 25. And then my wife didn't know what to do with me because I was a wild cat. A week later, I came home speaking in tongues. And she was mad. Weren't you?
Yeah, it was.
She was praying for that gift for a long time. And I got saved, and a week later, come home, and I was praying in tongues. She was like, this isn't fair! She later got her gift of all things when she was vacuuming. Vacuuming and praying, I guess, and all of a sudden that gift manifested. Guys, I can't express enough. He is real. And he wants to be proactive in every one of our lives. He wants to use us for his glory. Every one of us. Not just pastors. Not just evangelists. Every single person. Every one of you here today. Children included. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Will you walk with him? Will you seek him with all your heart? So believe he exists, and that it rewards those who earnestly seek him. I believe that was the key to all of that happening to me at one time. Like I told you, I was a broken man. I was to the end of myself at that point. I had nothing. So then faith is the evidence of a true Christian. Faith is absolutely the evidence of a true Christian. John 6, verse 29, the Gospel of John, says, Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." The work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. That is the starting point of us walking in this faith walk. That is the beginning of this faith walk that I'm talking with you about today. That is the starting point. You're in the starting blocks at that point right there. And the gun goes off and you take off. There it is. Gospel of John 3, verses 17 and 18. Says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Listen to me. There are too many professing Christians walking around feeling condemned. Because you're believing what the devil has been telling you instead of believing what Jesus Christ has said. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Never forget that. He is always going to accuse us. He's always going to remind us of the things we have done. When he does that, you remind him of his future. And he'll begin to leave you alone. When the devil reminds you of your past to beat you down and keep you beat down and so that you're not walking by faith, you just tell him what his future holds. All of a sudden, he don't want to talk to you anymore. So Christ didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world through himself. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So it's very important you get this. If we're going to walk in this faith walk, it's going to require that we have our faith in what God says about us and not what the devil's telling us. Because there is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Remember I told you I was to the end of myself. I was a broken man when I came to Christ. I'm speaking for myself, but I think it's probably the same way with all of us. When we reach that point, part of what creates a vacuum of emptiness in our lives is the reality of the fact that we are condemned. When we are walking on this earth without Christ, we are a walking condemned person. Now, I tell you what, that's not very popular to preach, but it's reality. I just read the scripture to you. That is reality. And I think that's a big part, again, of what it is that makes us feel so empty and so broken when we come to the end of ourselves, because we don't have Christ. And even if we don't even understand it totally in our mind, I think we get to that low point because we are condemned. I said last week that we're all terminal. These bodies are terminal. Not one of these bodies is going to go to glory. We've got to have a new body for that. And the only way we get a new body is what I've been talking about. We must be born again. John chapter 3, Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus makes it abundantly clear. Everybody must be born again to pass from a condemned creation to a saved creation. Preaching, that's kind of a message, is not popular today because so many people want to believe, oh, everybody's saved. I don't know how many funerals you've been to, but over the years, before I was even a pastor, I was at funerals, and I'm just telling you, ever since I've been born again, it drives me crazy when I see a pastor or someone else doing a funeral and making it sound like everybody goes to heaven because they're lying. It's a lie. Fact is, if the person that is laying in that casket left this earth without being in a relationship with Jesus Christ, things did not get better for them. Because they lacked the faith to receive Christ. You can see why it's so important that those of us who are in Christ pray for those in our circle of influence that don't know the Lord, because prayer moves mountains. And we're called to exercise that faith. Hebrews 10, verse 38 says, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. There's another way of saying it. Exactly what we were talking about in the example of Abraham, isn't it? It's just another way of saying it. Righteousness by faith. We are saved according to the Word of God by grace through faith. So then we are saved by grace, and this faith that we are talking about, this authentic faith, is the hands that receives the gift. Right? Faith is the hands that receives the gift. If I had a $100 bill felt in my pocket a roll of them, enough of them that I could walk down through the crowd here and pass out a $100 bill to every person in this church today. By the way, if you look, I don't have a roll like that. So don't get your hopes too high. This is merely an example. It would do no good for you to do that if you would not reach out your hand to receive it. I could walk through this crowd holding out a $100 bill, and if you guys were sitting on your hands and would not reach out to receive it, then you would not get the gift that I had for you. Faith is the extension that reaches out, like I said, are the hands that reach out and receive the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. I don't know how to make it any plainer. We are commissioned through the Great Commission to go out and share this message with anyone who will listen. We're commissioned, guys. Walking this Christian walk is more than living our life however we want to all week, but we're okay because we went to church Sunday. And maybe we even went to Bible study Wednesday night. I hope so. See, that's all good. But if that's all we're doing, we're just a bunch of fat Christians. Isn't that true? Because we're not doing with anything with what we've learned. We're not using the gifts and the talents that God has given us to further His kingdom, to fulfill the plan that He has for our individual lives. Please understand, as your pastor, I'm not standing here trying to speak condemnation over you. I am trying to bring conviction. I want to see this be a church without walls. Because the inhabitants of this church go out and share their faith with anyone who listens. And you've just been equipped this morning with how to do it. Do you realize that? I just shared with you today a comprehensive way to lead anyone to Christ. The scriptures, the angles, I've just shared all of that with you. So you're without excuse. You know how to do it. That's quiet in here. Even the kids. Wow. You know, praying for the Spirit to brood on us, and I really think He is. Now, you're not going to believe this, but it's past 10 till, and that was only the introduction. So I'm pretty sure this is going to be a three-part message. But the Spirit of God is on me, and I spent more time sharing this than I had intended. But I'm just following the Spirit. Remember, I just want God to have His way. I want God to have His way in my life as I'm the pastor and I lead, and I want God to have His way in your life because that is the only way that we are ever going to have all the fulfillment that we get living our lives in Christ. Letting Him have His way. So I think I might quit there. No sense starting into a fairly long first major point. Because I think we've all got something to chew on with the introduction today. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Jesus. I believe He's had His way here today. Let's stand together. Lord, Lord, we thank you today for your plan of salvation. For the gift. The gift of salvation. And Lord, we thank you also that you instill a faith in us. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace also to be able to grow in you and to live with a strengthened faith. Lord, as we live in obedience to you, following you, I know as we go through different stages in life that our faith grows. And so, Lord, I pray that today, from what we've heard from your word, it's your word, that our faith has grown again today. And as we leave this place, that we will be convicted by your Spirit to look for every opportunity that you would bring into our path to share the goodness of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation with anyone who will listen. To enlarge your kingdom and to prepare your kingdom here for your return, Lord. Now, Lord, as we leave this place, do it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless everybody.